Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 59, Episode 2 of
JJ Lee Zeitgeist!
Yeah! The podcast where we take a deep dive into America's and the world's sometimes shared consciousness using the headlines, box office reports, TV ratings, what's trending on Google and social media. It's Tuesday, November 27th, 2018. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I like pleasure spiked with pain, and music is my Jack O'Brien. It's my Jack O'Brien. Courtesy of Hannah Soltis, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Welcome to Mar-a-Lago, this is my dad's resort. Nepotism, no reading, can't wake him up for the policy briefing.
Okay, woo! Well, that was born out of the last show we did with Robot Caitlin Gill, based off a tweet from Nathan Lund, and then put together again by at Emilio R. Gomez for your AKA pleasure. Still can't get over that, but yes.
It's so good. It doesn't have your name in it, so I'll just say, it's Miles of Gray.
Oh, there we go. Thank you so much.
Well, we're thrilled to be joined by the very funny writer, Allison Stevenson.
Hi, thank
What's
you.
What's up?
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Life cool. And shit, yeah.
Life and shit.
How is life?
I can say shit, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You just don't say it really well, actually.
I can't say fuck?
Nah.
Fuck.
You can just say shit, though. How was your Thanksgiving, your whole past week, everything about your life?
You know, I'm not much of a Thanksgiving person, so I did not do anything.
There you go. So you just sat in a dark room?
I just sat in a very dark room. I ordered Domino's.
Hey!
Did you on Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
We need them.
That's kind of like my little tradition. Like, it's my my self-care or whatever. Wow. I just get diarrhea, basically.
Yeah, me too. Doesn't stop us, though.
So good.
Diarrhea is a form of self-care. Because you're on the toilet, you think a little
bit. All those toxins. Yeah.
It's a purging holiday. Allison, we're going to get to know you a little bit better. But first, we are going to take our listeners through what we're talking about today. We're going to talk a little bit. Just check in with the box office because there was some boffo BO over the weekend.
Boffo BO.
We're going to talk about Melania returning with the fire Christmas decorations.
Oh, yeah.
She She did it last year, and she has taken it up a notch. We're going to talk, just kind of check back in with the Mueller thing, because there seems to be some things a-brewing on that front. We're going to talk about how the Trump administration took advantage of the slowest news day of the year to slide in their report on how climate change is going for America. We're going to talk about what's going on down at the border. It's a fucking mess. Mm. But we're going to talk about just how various conservatives are justifying that to themselves and each other. And of course, we have to check in with Jerry Springer,
because
his show may be over, but make way for the Honorable Judge Jerry. And if we have time, we will do a Google Trend skim at the end. But first, Allison. I also should have said you're a comedian too. I don't know why I just said writer.
Yeah,
but
that's fine.
We like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
I think this is revealing about who I am, but it is the most recent thing I searched, so I'm just gonna say it. I just looked up. It was like Frankie Muniz doesn't remember Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And yeah. then I, because I heard that.
Right.
And I was like, I don't know if this is a rumor or not. I don't know how I. Oh, it got brought up because I was reading a Frankie Muniz tweet that made me. I mean, it's a sad. I don't know if you guys know this tweet where he said that. It's really sad, but I'm laughing. It's like. He's like, my whole entire home is destroyed. Like, four of the five levels of my mansion is ruined.
From what? The fires?
From the fires?
No. Oh. It's an air. He lives in Arizona, but it's because he was, like, away for 3 days, and one of his cats just opened the sink, like, somehow made the sink.
Oh, like, overflow?
Overflowed. His whole house is flooded, like, four or five stories, completely flooded. Because of his cat, because he was away from his cat, and it's like it's
That'll
sad.
You know, take care of your cats.
Yeah,
because they can do damage too.
Or get a house sitter, bro. You have a 5-story.
You think
man.
He just did the thing like ripped open the cat food bag and just like threw it in the kitchen? Yeah, was like, all right, let's go. Like
I really think that's what he did. And he was like, I was gone for 4 days, which I think is come on, like 2 days. I get
2 days. Yeah, if you have a cat that can handle 2 days, some
exactly.
People yeah,
but the cat just destroyed his home, and he tweeted it and. I don't know why, but I couldn't stop laughing and sharing it with people because I'm a horrible person. And someone was like, you know, he doesn't remember Malcolm in the Middle.
Right.
And so I had to Google that.
Isn't that from like his F1 accident, like racing accident or something? Like he had a few things that have.
That makes
sense.
He's
had a few bad like health things. Because I remember when he tweeted that last year, we covered it and we were like, damn, this guy's. It got some darkness.
I don't remember covering it. So
really?
That is where I'm at mentally. And I haven't even been in a car racing crash. Just normal car crash.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Yeah. That his Twitter sometimes slips into like Colonel Kurtz from Apocalypse Now territory. Like he had this one Twitter run for like a week where he was just talking about all the scorpions in his house and like how he was like battling them and murdering them. And it was like very like, you know, Colonel Kurtz talking about the snail sliding on the edge of a razor. It's like, oh, your brain is melting, dude.
Well,
like,
oh, my. He had 9 concussions.
Yeah.
No, the article I read said like 15.
Oh, wow. See, he can't even remember.
From
and
Malcolm
it was like
in
a
the
people.
Middle? Damn. Yeah. I had no idea that show
he did
was
all his
so,
own stunts.
Yeah.
And then like mini strokes, too. Yeah, he's got, you know.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, it's really
come
sad.
On, Malcolm.
It is. Yeah.
I'm pulling for you. But, you know, also,
well,
four
one
of your five
the quotes,
levels were ruined.
Yeah, one of the quotes in the article that I read was like, I'm not a doctor person, Frankie saying that. So I don't think he's really trying to make anything better.
Yeah, well,
like, I'm not really a doctor person, so whatever.
Anyway, what's the longest you can leave a cat in a house?
Yeah.
5 days?
That sounds like an adaptive malfunction. People who are not doctor people are probably not going to last that long. What is something you think is overrated?
This is something I've always believed for a really long time, and I just feel like people get angry at me. And I'm not trying to be like, the Beatles, I'm just going to say.
Wow.
The Beatles.
Get the fuck out.
You know, it's one of those things where it's like, it's so, I don't want to fight about it, but
yeah.
It is really how I feel.
Well, music,
I don't like the Beatles.
Music is, it's all subjective. You know, like you can't really go I think they're great, but I'm not a huge fan. Like, I'm not one of these people who like capes for them. And that's when I bristle against people and they're like, they're the greatest band that ever existed. This is the greatest songs of all time. And I'm like, right. Well, maybe to you. And I get that's valid for you.
Yeah.
I'm just not on that train.
Just like the status they've achieved of like gods, I think is just really too much. It's a bit much.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I think it's a bit much.
They're good at what they do, though. They were a good little band.
Liverpool. They did the thing.
Yeah, they did their thing.
And then we're like, okay.
And after reading, I think, what was it? One of the Malcolm Gladwell books about how they did their 10,000 hours even prior to like blowing up.
Right.
Of
at
like just
German
playing.
Strip clubs.
Yeah, just playing live over and over. I'm like, oh, okay. This is starting to make sense why they just stepped out.
Yeah. And they weren't doing it for very long, only 8 years. Ah, the Beatles are great, aren't they, guys? anyways, moving on.
How does that usually come out? Someone goes, this is the greatest album of all time. It'll be a Beatles thing. And you're like, I disagree. Or are you just kind of like to come out with a hot take?
I think it comes from a place of like being told my whole life that I have to love the Beatles.
Mm. Right, sure.
And then finally listening to the Beatles and being like, yeah, okay, like they're fun songs, but just this feeling like it's something I have to love.
Right.
Like
obligation.
It's a requirement. Like, right. That kind of pisses me off. That's kind of like, no, I don't need to.
I'll do what I want to do. Thank you.
I'll think they're okay for the rest of my life. But while then, worshiping the Monkees, I will admit. Right.
Oh, you're really? A Monkees fan.
Monkees over Beatles? Fan.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. That is a hot take.
Hot take alert. Okay, yeah.
I have noticed in kind of re-listening to them now, trying to introduce, you know, some of their songs to my son. His favorite song is Yellow Submarine, which is a garbage song. But a lot of their music is, I'd say, of the popular, you know, music. They are maybe the closest to children's music. Their songs are like very simple melodies, like just like kind of catchy.
They get stuck
hooks.
In your head for years. Yeah.
In that sense, they're, you know, if you don't think Rafi is a musical genius, then maybe.
Shout
maybe
out to
you
Rafi, though, also.
I know. I actually think Rafi.
I didn't bring Rafi. No, sorry.
Now we get to your underrated Rafi.
Wait, so who is the greatest band for you personally?
That's a tough. I mean, I am a big Elvis Costello fan.
Okay.
I think I'll always consider him one of my top faves, but I don't really have like a favorite, like this is my obsession. Right. Except for in middle school when I was obsessed with Blink-182. So
there you go.
Yes.
They deserve that title.
Yeah.
You know? And they've all gone on to do great things.
They deserve the title Blink-182?
Yeah.
How did they come to deserve that?
Yeah, I'm still, my circuits are fried from Cyber Monday.
what is something you think is underrated?
I want to say White Chocolate.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Go on.
I feel like
I'm listening.
Now everyone's just like, fuck her. Like,
no.
This is probably more.
No, these are hot. These are boiling hot takes.
Yeah. Boiling.
Yeah.
I love White Chocolate.
Yeah.
Hate the Beatles, love White Chocolate.
I mean, as you'll notice, this section is designed to get people to make some pretty unpopular statements. So don't worry too much about it. What is your... You know what I really got into for a while there was the Kit Kat White Chocolate.
Mm-mm.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Better than the regular Kit Kat, I thought, for a while.
The thing that I really got, well, when you eat cheap white chocolate, you're like, yo, this shit is fucking, it's like white wax.
Yeah.
It's like not good. And then you have like a Lindor truffle white chocolate, and you're like, your eyes roll back in your head like the girl eating the Doritos in that old Vine clip that references for three people. But I had, you know, like Magnum ice cream bars. They make like pints of ice cream now that are just the inside is lined with chocolate.
Yeah.
And you just like crack the shit like and it basically has broken up chocolate pieces. It's ingenious. Okay.
Right.
But they have a white chocolate one that I was surprised how much I liked it. And I was like, I'm starting to, my head's turning. I mean, what is white chocolate? It's not really chocolate though, right?
I've heard that it's not really chocolate. I don't know what it is.
Chocolate derivative, which consists of cocoa butter, sugar, and milk solids, and is characterized, so it's a chocolate derivative. Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyway.
I assume they made it in the same factory as Crystal Pepsi, and it was just, you know, they just take the color out.
Yeah.
It's still got the essence.
It's all in the same facility.
Yes. That classic Crystal Pepsi, which I still see around every once in a while.
It made a comeback briefly.
But it seems like it's like had this like petering comeback where they've like been trying to get it to come back and everyone's just like, nah, we're kind of over it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Now the Washington Post had an article that says, for those who think white chocolate isn't real chocolate, we got bars for you. What are you, a battle rapper?
Really?
What are you talking about?
You got bars for you?
Must be chocolate bars.
Right, but like that's a play on the thing.
Oh,
like...
wait. Let me see the byline. Written by Fabulous.
Oh, okay. There it is.
Okay, that makes sense.
My favorite Washington Post columnist. Yeah. Yeah, no, white chocolate will surprise you every once in a while.
Yeah, dipped in a pretzel.
We're talking about Jason Collins, right?
White chocolate.
Yeah, point Jason guard Williams? For the Sacramento Kings. I call him Collins, but yeah, you could call him Jason.
Who went to high school with Randy Moss?
Yes,
in that great Nike commercial.
That must have been a lot of fun to attend their games.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true that you know to be false? And I know you came in here with one that you've been dying to tell our listeners about. Sorry.
And I think you said if the listeners are driving, pull over now. Because the gravity of this myth, I mean, just please.
Just ready to get ready to have your entire universe shaken to its foundations. And Allison.
I'm pausing for suspense here.
Wow, really playing it up, you know? She's got the goods and she knows it.
Everybody sit down. I'm about to tell a tale. You know, actually...
I'm about to tell a tale.
Are you Googling what is a myth?
I guess it's more like a stereotype.
Okay, mm-hmm. Let's do it.
But it's about Jews, mm-hmm. which I am one of, so I'm allowed to.
Oh, thank God. Oh, man.
And the media. No.
Go on.
I was trying to think of something, and I think there's this myth / stereotype that Jews complain too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think really what it is that everybody else doesn't complain enough.
Ah.
Interesting.
A get on my level kind of thing.
Yeah.
Advocate
for
yourself.
Jews are at the right place, and everybody else kind of has to step it up a little.
Mm-hmm.
Just about every... Like, what, just complain as much
what's
as
a
you
thing,
want.
What's a thing you think regular, the goys could start complaining about?
Body pain. And yes. Sort of...
Like,
if your back hurts, let us know.
Right. Right.
If you're gassy, let us know. Yeah. Let's talk about it.
Don't just be the strong, silent type.
Yeah, exactly.
That doesn't help anybody.
Your neck's been hurting, let's talk about it. You know, that kind of stuff. Just little things here and there. It's therapeutic. It really helps.
There is always something to talk about.
Always.
There is never an awkward silence in a Jewish household because you always have something to talk about.
Exactly.
Do you have any pain right now that you would like to talk about?
You know, actually, a little bit lower back.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Don't know why. Don't know. Maybe from lying down too much over the weekend.
Yeah.
I literally just didn't leave my bed. Yeah.
Could
be it. What does your bed consist of? A mattress. I don't know. Yeah, if you're like, it's egg crates or like milk crates, right, or something, like a cardboard box.
A bed of nails, actually. Of nails. Yeah. But I don't know where this pain is coming from.
All right. I love that myth.
Complain more, guys.
And guys, let's get into what's happening right now, into the zeitgeist. So just real quick, Wreck-It Ralph 2, Ralph Breaks the Internet, and Creed 2, both crushed at the box office this weekend. The Rocky franchise holds a special place in my heart. I did not see it, but the very first movie I ever saw at theaters with my dad was Rocky IV, and this movie is basically an avenging of Rocky IV because it's Apollo's son avenging his father's demise.
Who killed his dad?
Ivan Drago.
Ivan Drago.
Yes.
Oh, and then now their sons are fighting each other?
Yes.
Wait, are these fights to the death?
No, not usually.
Oh,
but
I'm so confused.
When you have Sylvester Stallone writing the movie, however, Sylvester Stallone is a genius of knowing that you always have to like ramp it up. Sometimes he ramps it up a little too quickly, like in Rambo 2. But he, in Rocky 4, yeah, he had his best friend get murdered in the boxing ring in a friendly fight with a Russian he came in like dressed as George Washington, or like had the big top hat, the American flag top hat, and was just like goofing around, and then Ivan Drago literally murders him.
Wait, why was it murder?
Because
he had, like, weights in his gloves or some shit?
No, no, he's just that strong, and he's
beating him to death with his hands.
But then he also
that's victory.
He also utters the line, which I feel like would have probably been a bigger deal in the boxing community. He says, "If he dies, he dies," as he's dying in front of him.
If he does,
which is, I think that's that is, you know, in this PR age of ours, athletes are their statements are always so carefully handled. He just came with the "if he dies, he dies."
But he's a cybernetic organism from the Russian Federation, so of course, if he dies, he dies.
Anyways, Rocky goes to Russia, wins the Cold War for America, because by the end, the Russian people are chanting his name. And the head of the Soviet Union in the movie goes and yells at the boxer. He's like, "Listen to them. They are chanting his name." And then Ivan Drago, like, lifts him up and throws him to the side. And then Rocky gives a long speech about how,
and, if I can change, you can change.
Hey, you know,
we all can change.
Hey, you know, you guys got rights, you know?
Yeah.
You gotta fight for him, you know? Yeah. Like we do in America.
I feel like you've only seen one scene in the entire Rocky franchise, and it's from
Rocky Balboa, where he's in the court and he just does it. He loses some judgment and just comes back.
You don't got rights or something.
And that's all
You don't got rights.
And that'll always stay with me.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Anyways, that movie did extremely well. It did even better than the first Creed, which did really
well. Oh, it
did? Yeah.
Oh, good for them.
For the first weekend box office.
And, Wreck-It Ralph had our very own Danny Fernandez.
Yeah.
Appearance in there.
From How Stuff Works, comedy podcast, Nerdificent.
Wait, what, and the Robin Hood movie also came out this weekend?
Did not do that well. So this is,
I think I saw one commercial for it.
Yeah, like, it was laughable.
Yeah. Approximately 25% of Hollywood's economy is built on just rebooting Robin Hood projects. Like, there are literally 30 of them in production. So that a lot of people are going to lose their job because this movie did very badly. And yeah, at the top, we had two stellar outings. So, you know, America is interested in the internet and beating the shit out of Russia.
Hey, you know,
that actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. The whole, like, you know, franchise.
Yeah. We want to see the internet broken, and we want to see Russia defeated. I don't know how that has anything to do
good
with
good timing for that
though.
Movie. Yeah.
Well, speaking of none of that, Melania is back with her triumphant return to holiday decorating. And, it is
a hellscape.
Like, it is literally a hellscape.
Have you seen the photos?
I saw, like, one.
Okay, here, I'll just go through. So, yes, this year's theme was...
There are Christmas trees made of blood.
The theme was American treasures, and the statement is, the White House says, decorations include a tree trimmed by Gold Star families, okay, that makes sense, an array of topiary trees, and mantelpieces featuring the skylines of New York City, St. Louis, Chicago, and San Francisco. And here's some, like, concept designs. Then she's literally walking around blood piles of just, like, congealed entrails of the downtrodden people. Yeah. Then a really nice, like, wreath made out of Be Best pencils, which I very, you know, I guess shout out to yourself. It's Christmas.
It's so very crafty.
There's like the video that I think was released from her Twitter account that we took all these clips from. It's just like her just like being in awe of her own, you know, design prowess. And then
I really did it.
what do you guys think of this tree topper?
Tree topper is very Nazi-tastic.
Yeah.
Oh,
it is
wow.
A golden
yeah.
eagle with its wings spread, which, looks like it belongs in a at the top of a flagpole in a classroom. In
at the
Nazi
Reichstag.
Germany. Yeah.
Sure, Melania. That's cool for you. That's how you want to design your house as your house.
Yeah.
I don't look forward to being invited ever, but...
So the tree's made entirely out of cranberries, like branches of cranberry. I believe so, based on the progression where they show us the cranberry branches and then the
Is that
trees.
A cranberry?
I don't know what that
Aren't
is.
They grown in a bog?
Yeah, that's true.
It looks like giant elves were buried there and just like their hats sticking
right.
out.
Right, or wasn't it in War of the Worlds like where the machines just like picked people up and then just shat out like weird goo?
Well, it wasn't
like
goo. It was it turned them into ash.
Oh,
and it
okay.
was a very clear reference to 9/11, actually.
Oh, was it?
I think so. Because he's like running around and there's like ash all over him from like disintegrated people.
Oh, right, right, right.
You remember?
But what movie am I thinking of where like they were leaving behind like red webbing on like the whatever. That's not important.
Yeah.
Because this
really looks like.
Melania's like, don't it looks spoil like my Hanukkah decorations.
It looks like a more dramatic. If you did a freeze frame on the moment after the blood elevators open in The Shining, and then like because it looks like it's just red cascading down. Like,
yeah.
It really looks. And then there is on one of the trees, there is not the blood trees, the regular Christmas trees. There's just a
the official White House
an
tree,
ornament. Right? The official White House tree, there's an ornament that just says Puerto Rico.
Did you see that picture on Twitter that when the tree was brought in, Trump slapped like the horse's ass that was like bringing the tree in? There's like a horse, some horse-drawn carriage
from
pulled
one
up to
another.
The White House.
Hey.
There's just a photo of him just like. Like as if he were at like some stockyard assessing
right.
like the
that's
the
just
product.
Like muscle memory for him.
Yeah,
I
right.
think
right.
he can't
yeah.
not slap something on the ass.
Right, he's like, oh, I can't resist.
Yeah, but this is all just a waking nightmare.
Do you all have like Christmas ornaments you put up every year? Do you still do this? No,
I'm a Jew.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't.
What about you?
Yeah.
Do you have a pickle that you put on your tree?
Yeah.
What is with that?
We just got that like a few years ago, and I forget what tradition it's from, but somebody...
I have a pickle. Her Majesty has a pickle. That's why we have one.
Yeah.
And it just says she has a pickle on her tree.
Yeah. Somebody gave it to us. I mean, we just started doing Christmas trees because we're... but even growing up, we did not have a pickle. But now my new tree has a pickle.
Wow.
I think that just like broke wide, like that tradition.
The pickle, yeah.
Yeah, explain it to us, Zeitgang.
Because we're too lazy to Google.
What, like a real pickle?
No, like a pickle ornament.
Oh.
Yeah.
A moldy, disgusting, rotten pickle.
Interesting.
Use the same one. It's hard as a rock.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Zeitgang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ. All lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeitgang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back. And Miles, the headline on this next story is, oh yeah, that Mueller thing.
Oh man, yeah, there's been so much news. I forgot you forget that shit's going on in DC constantly. I forgot about it. And then you look at the president's tweets on Monday and you're like, oh, okay. Because we get an idea of what his current panic attacks are about.
Right.
So this one was when Mueller does his final report. Will he be covering all of his conflicts of interest in a preamble? Will he be recommending action on all of the crime? And he just goes on and on. Hundreds of people close. He's just trying to, I don't know, act as if, don't believe what's about to come out, whatever this report is, and because he never asked other people who would tell him that there was no collusion.
He's using the all-effective, look, there may have been people who committed crimes in my campaign, but think about all the people who didn't.
Who didn't.
Campaign.
And he didn't ask them if they didn't.
Right.
So, wow, okay, just go after the people that did. That's fair.
Right.
All 12 of my interns.
Right.
Right.
Clean records.
Yeah, but it does seem like, I don't know, people in the know, and I'm going to include the president on that because he is the president and the subject of this report.
But witch hunt.
There seems to be something bubbling.
There's
up.
A lot cooking.
Alan Dershowitz, who has always been on the president's side when it comes to this report, came out and said, I think the report is going to be devastating to the president, and I know that the president's team is already working on a response to the report. He said that on this week yesterday with George Stephanopoulos. So I think people are vaguely aware that Mueller has his report about to drop, and it's not going to be good for the president.
It's going to make the story of Addie Don even look, it'll make that look tame. But yeah, because there are other people around the Mueller investigation that are also like just saying all kinds of stuff, like Jerome Corsi, who is like the former DC bureau chief for InfoWars and birther conspiracy theorist and John Kerry Swift boat guy. Like, he's out here like doing on One America News, which is like the fucking even zanier non-news thing for right-wingers.
Right.
They were like we can exclusively report that Jerome Corsi is going to like reject his plea deal with Mueller and then sue him and then also drop a book about his quote Gestapo style tactics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. So that can't be. I mean, clearly that man is in a tailspin. Like the idea that he's going to have a book or something that's going to exonerate him. I'm not sure what's going on there. Then George Papadopoulos, he had to go to jail Monday and was like asking, like in the last minute, he tried to like, you know, push back and be like, yo, I actually shouldn't be going to jail. And the judge was like, see you Monday, man.
Just right.
You're going. And yeah. I don't care what you think the law is, but you are going. So, yeah, we'll see. And then also there's going to be a report that Mueller puts out on Manafort's cooperation. Is a status report. So we'll know just how cooperative and, you know, easy to work with Mr. Manafort has been.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Yeah. So there could be, who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But one thing I also did read is that the like as more and more people leave the White House, especially for like general counsel for the White House, they're like, oh, man, like the White House is so horribly ill prepared for like the coming subpoenas and all these other things Democrats are about to go ham on in terms of investigating and things like that. So this can't be add that to the pile of the Mueller report coming out soon, maybe.
Dropping soon.
Yeah.
You almost make it sound like it's going to be like on SoundCloud or something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, link in bio, link in bio.
It does seem like Mueller is using sort of the, I don't know, like the recording artist timing thing where you go silent for a while and then people are like, oh shit, now I can't wait to find out like what he's about.
Whoa, the Mueller report came preloaded on my new iPhone?
Nas coming. Yeah. By the way, just speaking about people, like stories coming out from behind the scenes of the White House, the story wherein somebody asks Trump how much he thinks the Joint Chiefs of Staff chairman earns, and he says $5 million, was one of my favorite things from over the weekend.
$5 million?
Yeah. He just assumes everyone's like a millionaire around him.
And that was probably him thinking of like a low number.
Right. Wait, how did that
like,
question?
Poor guy.
just someone on the spot like, hey, how much do the Joint Chiefs make? All right, $5 million. All right, moving on.
Chief of Staff John Kelly has told others about watching TV with Trump and asking the president how much the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff earns. Trump guessed $5 million, according to people who were told the story by Kelly, startling the chief of staff. Kelly responded that he made less than $200,000. The president suggested he get a large raise and noted the number of stars on his uniform.
Oh, a star for a $1 million a star.
For every star.
Look at all those stars. This guy deserves...
At least
millions.
Four.
Yeah.
Why isn't there five? We're not more? Okay.
But yeah, he's just not a... This is the...
Wait, so someone quizzed him, basically? Like, you're like, hey, right. Mr. President, how much do you think he makes?
Well, or... Kelly comes off as like an annoying asshole in the story, too, because have you ever been like talking to somebody and they ask you a question that you think they're like genuinely curious about, but they know the answer?
Oh, just to try to fuck with you? You're
so like... you were just like quizzing me?
Right.
Fuck you, man. But instead, Trump just started talking about all the shiny things on the guy's uniform because that's how his mind works.
He's like, what's that one? The American flag? Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Look at all the stars in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like...
So you should get 54 million.
Like 30, stars. Yeah. 35 stars. it's always fun to look at the news cycle over the long Thanksgiving holiday because... First of all, the news is we talked on today's episode, I think, about how the news media has these stories that they just like rerun every year. And one of them is like Black Friday stampede. And one of the other things you'll see is that people try to just like, you know, offload a bad news story, sort of like Andy Dufresne leaking dirt from his like pant leg in Shawshank Redemption. Like, you know, quietly, like, don't look over here.
I was going to say Leslie Nielsen in Naked Gun 33 and a third.
Also that.
when they're playing baseball. I'm sorry.
So the Trump administration decided to take advantage of that slow news day to inform us of our impending doom. They dropped a 1,656-page national climate assessment, which is... They only did because it's required by Congress, obviously.
Waste of paper.
I know.
Think about it.
Right?
It's making things worse.
It's not very promising.
You mean because it's a real assessment of climate change?
Yes. And
I don't know if we can keep acting surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody even speculated in the New York Times article about this, that this could have some legal precedent or some sort of legal implications for the administration because... Now you have clear evidence that they know about this. So if they continue with policies where it's like you're not doing the bare minimum to help prevent problems that are actually hurting Americans, like that's somewhat of a dereliction of duty, you know, they have this incredibly detailed report to point to, at least in courtrooms going forward.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the Pentagon warned W. Bush like 14 years ago, they're like, hey, this will fuck the world up. He's like, come on, man.
Right.
Strategery.
Yeah. I mean, we talked before.
You know who else dropped news the day before Thanksgiving was Facebook. Also admitting they're like, a lot of the stuff you read in that New York Times piece was true. So we did direct them to take the Soros angle on trying to defend our fucking negligence as a company.
Uh-huh.
So, I guess that's just a note to anybody. Just if you want to announce something, just... Just put that out there on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Right. But yeah, I mean, I think people are probably familiar with the very straightforward repercussions of climate change, like the hurricanes and the flooding from the hurricanes. And
right.
But there's also, they point to in this report, you know, flooding from thunderstorms and like things that aren't like huge national news stories, but that are still, you know, smaller weather events that are still going to cost people, you know, over the course of the next couple of years, hundreds of billions of dollars. Like basically, you know, it keeps getting worse and worse, where it used to be 25 years from now, we're all fucked. And then earlier this year, it became 12 years from now, we're all fucked. And then this report's like, actually, we're all kind of already
fucked. We're currently fucked.
We're being fucked we're right fucketh. Now. That sensation that you feel.
That
is,
feeling when.
Yeah. Right. So, and one of the stories that has been pointed to as like a less straightforward thing is just the conflict in Syria was at least partially caused by
climate change and drought
caused by potentially climate change. So, I mean, there's going to be all sorts of national security issues I'm going to go out and say it. I don't think this president's taking it seriously enough.
Oh, whoa.
Hey, shots
whoa,
fired.
Whoa, what the fuck, Jack?
I'm up to here with this guy. I'll tell you what.
Well, it's also funny is when you hear people like on the right too, I think it was Rick Santorum's whack ass being like, oh, it'll dealing with climate change will devastate the economy.
Right.
And you're like, okay, capitalism, what are we, like, you're saying, let's put that off and then we'll just shrivel up and die in fires and floods or whatever.
Right.
When you can't just do the bare minimum to try and like get a hold of this thing.
Yeah.
I love all those tweets. Nice seeing that I think even Trump tweeted it. That was just like, the coldest winter ever. Global warming my ass or whatever.
It's like wow.
Oh my God.
Where's global warming now?
Yeah. Global colding.
Yeah.
So.
I was just in a meat freezer. Where's global warming now?
Take that.
So another thing that has been going down over the weekend is just the fucking mess at the border. The caravan.
Doesn't stop all this bad news.
I know.
Yeah.
The caravan finally arrived, or at least part of it arrived.
Yeah, well, and there are a lot of people just currently at the border, specifically at the San Ysidro border crossing, where there are, I think, something like 5,000 people camped out near this sports complex. And they're all trying to apply for asylum because the administration's like, if you're going to do it, you do it the right way and you present yourself at a point of entry and apply for asylum there. Right. And there's a couple problems with that. You have 5,000 people who are trying to do that. And right now, the agents at the border are processing less than like 100 a day.
Man. Yeah.
So do the math on that and tell me that you don't have people trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. So there was people protesting about how just slowly they're like processing asylum claims and things like that. And that protest turned into this showdown between the Border Patrol and some people who tried to cross the border, like breach a weak point in the border on Sunday. And they fired some tear gas at them, like into Mexico, the U.S. Border Patrol. And then like the gas was like carried downwind. And like you had there were like awful images of parents running with like shoeless kids, like clearly choking on like all the tear gas and things like that. And this is like one of these really fucking, it's just a shit situation because the Trump administration says, hey, you have to come through a proper point of entry. But they're not even like, according to the laws that the U.S. has, like under the U.S. laws, if you make it to U.S. soil, you are entitled to ask for asylum. So you can't even if you didn't cross at a point of entry. So they're changing the rules constantly, trying to make it harder and harder for these people who are not, again, here to fucking take over your aunt's lake house in Minnesota or fucking get your free, slow up the Wi-Fi in your neighborhood. People who are fleeing violence and just lack of economic opportunity. Some people who are coming from Honduras are like, sort of like business owners who are just could not stand the violence in their country. Mm-hmm. So they're not, again, this is a situation where typically the U.S. was a place of refuge for people. And now it's just like, I don't know, Trump's talking about trying to completely shut the border down, which legally he cannot do.
Right.
And even Fox News just had to tell him that like, you legally can't just shut the border down, Mr. President. But they also had some pretty hot takes on the tear gas that was being shot at people. On Fox and Friends, I think it was a guest of theirs, said that the tear gas is all good because it's all natural. And I think that there It's so natural you could eat it, maybe?
Yeah, you put it on your nachos.
Yeah, like, let's just hear this hot take.
There was a small hole they were able to puncture through the border wall, and they hurled all sorts of rocks, etc., at the Border Patrol agents, and then they fired the tear gas. Is that warranted?
Absolutely. And to clarify, the type of deterrent being used is OC pepper spray. It's literally water, pepper, with a small amount of alcohol for evaporation purposes. It's natural. You could actually put it on your nachos and eat it.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. All right, so let's see that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Let's see that. CS Nacho Challenge.
We really should feed this
Let's see that fucking GOP. I want to see all y'all just
This
fucking...
is Ronald Colburn, who is Border Patrol Foundation founder.
Uh-huh.
And just to have to state the obvious, and I wish that our world wasn't where you had to state the obvious, but the chemicals that combine with the pepper can cause adverse cardiac, respiratory, and neurological effects, including arrhythmias and sudden death. That is especially true of children who come into contact with pepper spray. I mean, you probably knew pepper spray was bad, but just it's, I feel like at a certain point, the only thing to do is just take each of these arguments one at a time and just kind of bat them down.
Well, yeah, because I mean, all people on the right are trying to do is rationalize like what, like why everything is okay,
right.
Why you can treat these people like this.
To rationalize pepper spray.
Yeah.
As a nacho topping?
Like, yes. First of all, what are these nachos that you're eating where you're going to put pepper
spray on
even
them?
The idea of like just putting pepper,
right?
Because I think he was trying to get at that, like, oh, you know, like how you pepper your nachos,
right?
Which is like,
oh, like black pepper, like,
right?
Someone comes around, some fresh ground pepper on your nachos.
Uh-huh.
Yes, but I know I actually brought my own CS gas,
yeah,
that I'm gonna spray on it. Please wear a gas mask.
Alyssa Milano tweeted, "You tear gassed women and children." Asswipe and Tommy Lauren quote, "Bum rushing the border is a choice and has consequences." Watching the USA finally defend our borders was the highlight of my Thanksgiving weekend. Prayer hands, prayer hands, prayer hands.
Wow.
What a monster.
And then there was breaking news live showing a report. U.S. military helicopters are currently heavily patrolling the U.S.-Mexico border near the border city of Tijuana as illegal immigrants try to storm the U.S. border. And there's a picture of a person from the caravan or, you know, an immigrant who's, quote, trying to storm the border, who is in a wheelchair. And Derek Hunter from the Daily Caller tweeted, "I'm sure the guy in the wheelchair will be net positive to the economy."
Oh,
my
God.
And
then hashtag shut it down. So, yeah, they're like the proudly unsympathetic, unempathetic response to this is just, you know, it's nice. It's like getting an ice bath of just conservative shittiness, like that gets us back into the news cycle.
Right. Yeah. We're too comfortable over the weekend, I guess.
Yeah.
It's funny because no one can ever acknowledge what these people are fleeing.
Right.
They can only sort of frame this as the barbarians at the gate, so to speak, of just people trying to break in, mash the gates up, breach the border. And I think even the Mexican officials were like, it was maybe 30 at the most people who were actually part of like trying to breach the actual border or whatever.
Right.
There were people sort of like in this dry riverbed part where a lot of the sort of showdown was happening. But it's never acknowledging what the situation is that these people are fleeing. It's
right.
Always just like, hey, they're coming for whatever, our lake houses, our jobs, whatever, not. Hi, have you ever had a child and had to worry about like what their future was going to be like? You had daughters, you had to worry about sexual violence or people
right.
getting killed in gang violence and things like that. And your only option is to fucking leave your home? Nah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like coming from this, like, if you want to leave your home, the place you're from, like, there's obviously something going on
right.
that you need to get away from. Like, people don't, like, I'm sure they're not like, yay, I get to, like, leave my home country. Like,
right.
It's not a stoked thing. It's like I have to do this.
Right.
I literally have to do this.
Right.
And to not see that and to just think that it's like a fun thing that's like, yeah, they just want to live here. Okay.
Well, that's a comfort of not having any sort of any realistic existential threat to you. Like,
yeah.
And like the closest thing you'd be like, there weren't enough steampunkers in my town in Idaho, so I had to move to Seattle.
Right.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Like, I left
yeah.
a bad situation.
And those people who fled, I would live with more steampunkers in Seattle are the people who the conservatives all hated. And right. Like, fuck you. Don't move to my town. Also, just to dismantle some of the excuses that conservatives are using to go to sleep at night. They've been talking about how Mexico offered them asylum, but they refused to accept the asylum. That offer of asylum was made on a, quote, rural stretch of highway where the caravan was blocked by over 100 cops dressed in riot gear. And there was no guarantee that they wouldn't immediately be deported after asylum was granted. So it wasn't.
No, like great, just the term asylum, yeah. You'd be like, okay, asylum, and now you have to go.
It wasn't a great offer that everybody on the right is making it out to be. And also, these are people who are fleeing violence, like you said, and Mexico has had a history. People have fled Mexico because of how, you know, certain groups like LGBTQ people are treated, or people with indigenous heritage. So Mexico is also not the ideal location to be granted asylum.
Yeah, so come to the U.S. where some right-wing terrorists will fucking kill you.
But we're not. We're mostly okay. That's the thing.
Yeah, right.
And then officers in Mexico encourage asylum seekers to give up on their applications and just get deported. They openly mocked people's fears of violence and actively discouraged them from seeking protection. There's also the why don't they just enter legally? Because, I mean, the clear answer to this is they must just like breaking the law or something.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's they are trying to seek asylum through the proper channels, and Fox just completely focuses on the people who are trying to storm the border, like it was like a scene from The Walking Dead, but it's actually, that's a very, very small portion of the caravan. It was like 500 people held a peaceful protest out of the 8,000 people in the caravan, and then like a group of a couple, like you were 30 saying, to 40 30 just broke off.
Well, yeah, and then they get, like I was saying, like why don't they apply legally? It's because the Trump administration is just basically trying to end the practice of granting people asylum completely.
Right.
So they're like, okay, well then, not just we'll ignore the laws that say if you get to the U.S. then you can apply. It's like, well, now you have to do it through this very narrow channel, and even then, there's such a backlog that I think it's less than 100. Some are saying less than 40, or maybe 40 a day. So.
And the reason some of these people are desperate enough to, you know, storm the border is that they're being held in like soccer stadiums with two bathrooms for thousands of people, and they're just terrible, you know, circumstances that they're living in, and they have children with them, and it's a humanitarian crisis. And then there's obviously the argument about pepper spray that we already explained why it's not totally correct, at least.
Again, if there's anybody from Fox that really wants to do the CS Nacho Challenge, pull up. You know what I mean? Is that safe? Pull up. I want to see you eat a whole Nachos Bel Grande and fucking gas that shit.
Right.
And let's see how fucking tough your insides are.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. Someone will do it.
I can't wait to watch
it. I have a feeling
some teenager
troll can be baited into it.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, yeah, I'll show you. Actually, but I don't even know if they would upload the video because it would be taking such a massive L on the internet.
Right, and they'd also maybe possibly be dying, so that makes it hard to upload the video.
But it's all natural. How can you die from something all natural?
I don't know. That's the question, isn't it? All right, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
And we're back. And so is Jerry Springer, baby.
Jerry.
Finally, some good news.
Yes. I mean, look, it was some dark days ahead because, as we all know, I mean, I don't know about you guys. I have Google Alerts set up for Jerry Springer. but after 27 fucking seasons, I cannot believe it had 27 seasons, the CW basically stopped ordering new episodes. And so the former, wasn't he the mayor of Cincinnati?
He was.
Yeah.
Or Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Or Cleveland.
I forget.
It says he was born at the Highgate Tube Station on his Wikipedia. Does it mean he was born in a
like
tube
station? Like in a subway?
Yes, he was a Cincinnati mayor. Anyway, okay. Like after all that, he, the season is ending. So the Jerry Springer show is ending. And we all know Steve Wilkos. He had to leave. He had his own show.
Yeah.
The Steve Wilkos show, which is another flaming pile of American garbage. Mm. But this one is now, the new show will be called Judge Jerry. And I mean, you guys already get where this is going.
Yeah.
The show will have Jerry Springer, quote, slide from the stage to behind the bench using law and order to settle disputes.
At least they accurately portrayed how he moves, which is just sliding along on a trail of slime, I believe.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be interesting what kind of fake conflicts they cook up in this show,
right,
considering how wasn't all of the Jerry Springer show fake, basically? Or they could find people with enough problems and they could just embellish on the show.
I think it was just, very embellished. I think those were real problems that they escalated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, my husband doesn't know that the baby is his brother's.
Right.
Is a common theme on that show.
Right.
Yeah. And in life.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or like early on, like every episode was some weird problematic transphobic episode.
Right.
Or it's like, you what?
Yeah.
You're not a woman?
Right.
So I don't know what this show will end up doing. But he's got a liberal streak to him, so maybe he'll do something less wacky.
I'm just wondering if there's still going to be physical altercations. Like, are they going to keep that going?
I mean, that's one thing these judge shows are missing.
Yeah.
Because no one acts up in Judge Judy's court. Because she's too...
No, that's terrible.
She will fucking destroy you with her words. There are great supercuts of Judge Judy just... vaporizing people rhetorically. I don't know.
I think it's going to be mostly trial by combat and trial by ordeal. Just those Middle Ages ways of determining whether you just fight each other to the death. And if you don't die, then you are innocent.
Boom. And you get to be the king of Judge Jerry's court. But, good luck to him. This is the NBC venture. So maybe one day we'll be on that show and we can have a dispute settled.
Right.
That's a great idea.
Okay, great. Well, let's try and book that. Jack, you and I,
Who books the Jerry Springer
Judge Jerry show?
The Judge Jerry show, yeah.
I mean, brilliant people, clearly.
Two podcast hosts argue over the name of their show. They fight over a Casper mattress. Judge Jerry, when the deal came through, I was promised a king size mattress, and Jack took that.
Uh-huh.
So, what say you?
But it's also implying that Jerry has any sort of, like, what he says will actually be in effect.
Right.
Like, yeah, if Judge Judy... you win. Like, what's going to go from there?
Right. Judge Judy is an actual, like, judge. Like, a very successful, like, hard-nosed, you know, right. person from the legal profession.
Right.
And Judge Jerry, they're just going to be like, no, fuck you, man.
Well, he's got a JD from Northwestern.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. Mm. And he was a political campaign advisor to RFK.
Right. But Judge Judy had a long and distinguished legal career before she decided to become a billionaire.
Oh, yeah. I mean, her money is so long.
I know.
It will, your eyes will roll back in your head.
Yeah.
Is that show still?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure. Yeah.
And she's like, the last deal she signed was some kind of astronomical.
What?
Like, it's like, good for you, Judge Judy.
Hell yeah.
I don't know why I'm like really, I really want her to do well.
Stanning.
And she really is doing well.
All right, guys, let's check in with Google Trend Search. What was trending? What is trending over?
What are y'all talking about?
So yesterday, Cyber Monday was obviously trending. Did you guys cyber any Monday up?
Nope.
No.
Cool.
No.
thought about it, but.
The closest thing I bought over the weekend was a portable battery pack to charge my phone with because it was really cheap.
That's pretty dope.
But that's about the level of excitement in my life.
Yeah. I need one of those, actually.
Oh, really?
Hint.
Well, look. You should have agreed to do a Secret Santa, Jack, but he said no.
I got a leaf blower. That's my big thing.
You did?
Plug-in leaf blower. Yeah.
For
a backyard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You going to use it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
That's some real dad shit.
Let me borrow that.
Yeah. I am turning into the daddest dad.
Yeah, did you order some khaki shorts, too?
With a belt? It came with the leaf blower.
Yeah, khaki shorts with a brown belt and a white polo you could tuck right in there with Sauconys. Or no, Avia sneakers.
A couple of days ago, NBA Youngboy was trending, and that is a rapper's name.
Who's NBA Youngboy?
He's a rapper who was rumored to have been shot 3 times over the long weekend and who has responded to those rumors saying, I wasn't shot. My name's NBA Youngboy. I just like, I think that's my favorite new rapper name that I've heard. Dummy Boy, also trending. That's actually Tekashi 6ix9ine's new album called Dummy Boy.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Aw, man. He's in jail. He can't do any press for that, huh?
Mm.
What a wasted album. Is there any update on him? Is he trending? Is he safe in jail?
He's the child molester, right?
He was in a video where I think someone was having sex with a 13-year-old in it or something.
Right.
Which was like very... Anyway, yeah.
Okay.
So that's... And he only got probation for that.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
I mean, get a good lawyer, I guess.
We've all showed up in the wrong video.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Wrong place,
yeah.
Wrong time. Your background of a video where somebody's, you know...
having sex with a 13-year-old child?
Okay.
Okay, NBA Youngboy.
Let he without... Sin, throw the first stone. I don't know how that saying goes.
Abandon this one.
A lot of NBA stuff tweeting or trending. Dwight Howard, there was a big story that I think ended up being a hoax, but it was basically his former girlfriend, who is a trans woman, came out and alleged that he had abused her when they were in a relationship, and that gave NBA Twitter the opportunity to just be incredibly problematic. Yeah, it was interesting. I thought there was going to be a thing where we had like a star athlete kind of be outed and see how he dealt with it and the world dealt with it, but it looks like this might be a hoax because the person who outed him apparently did the exact same thing to Playboy Cardi last year, like around this time.
Wow, homophobic hip-hop fans.
Do you believe it?
Wild.
Yeah.
What can we do? Wait, what was the thing with Tiger Woods playing Phil Mickelson? I saw that training. Did they just do like a weird trick match or something? Like a charity game or something?
It was not a charity game. It was a pay-per-view. They tried to boxing-ify golf. They did one-on-one Tiger Woods versus Phil Mickelson where the winner would win $9 million.
Oh, that's why I saw memes of Tiger Woods looking at like literally a mountain of cash, and it said that feeling when you lose $9 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, so, oh my, wow. Golf, come on now.
What is going on?
How many people paid for that shit? Nobody.
I think a lot of people initially paid for it, and then there were technical difficulties, and the parent company had to just turn that whole shit down.
Oh, and just make it free?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just refunded almost everybody's money.
Damn.
How'd that go?
So that's a bad day for them. Did anybody watch any football over the weekend? Michigan versus Ohio State?
No, I saw that LSU-Texas A&M game go to like 9 overtimes.
Yeah.
Or just towards the tail end of that. And that was the first time I've watched college football in a long time. And I didn't know what was going on.
You know how people like make fun of fans of sports by being like, oh, you root for the laundry. You just like, you cheer for a team even though the player like leaves the team, but all you care about is like the logo on the thing. I literally root for Michigan because of the laundry. I just like their uniforms, and I've always rooted for them ever since the Fab Five.
Always been a big Wolverine fan?
Always been a big Wolverine fan since
I mean, if you're a fan, though, if you're actually a fan of a team or a club, it's because you actually like the team and not the players in it.
Right. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I've just heard that logic attacked by people being like, oh, you're just a fan of the laundry.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
My laundry's looking great.
I know. You're just a fan of the tattoo on your hand.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, those are a couple things that jumped out at me from the trending
searches. I couldn't contribute
searches.
To anything about sports.
I have to ask one thing, because it was a long weekend and everybody had a lot of time. Did anybody watch movies over the weekend? They actually watched something new? Because I finally saw A Star Is Born.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't realize Lady Gaga is in the movie. That was really tight.
So this was a bit that you told me you were doing the whole movie?
I was pissing off Her Majesty. We were watching with some friends. Shout out to Jason and Andrea. But I was like, wait, so is that, yo, that's Lady Gaga? Damn, that was tight. Although Bradley Cooper, a lot of people had the take of like, yeah, Bradley Cooper was like, whatever. I didn't think he was bad, but I guess his character could have been played by, I think, any actor. Like, I didn't feel like it was something that only Bradley Cooper could have played.
His ultimate decision, his character's most important decision, I will say, feels unearned. But I thought his performance was pretty cool. Maybe just because I've seen him be so different that I was like, man, he really changed his voice.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
Hey, look, anybody can talk like this, Jack.
Nope. See? Nice try.
Pissing myself.
You're no Bradley.
Did you see Star Is Born?
No, I haven't seen it.
Do you care to? Is there any no gravity?
Did you not know that Lady Gaga?
Well, now that I know Lady Gaga
right?
is in it,
isn't that
I'm
crazy?
Gonna have to check it out.
I feel like they should have led with that.
Yeah, they should have definitely promoted that more. I thought it was just Bradley Cooper, like a solo show.
Yeah,
I thought
me too.
It was his life story.
Also, shout out to Shangela, the drag queen, was in the movie, very heavily featured, and they called her Shangela. So yes.
Okay.
Hallelujah!
I like
Hallelujah.
Shangela.
I only watched a movie by the name of Rules of Engagement that was on. So I finally got cable after moving a few weeks ago, and just went into a, you know, just watching whatever shitty movie was on Stars
right.
at like 11 o'clock at night. And Rules of Engagement was it, in which Tommy Lee Jones defends Samuel L. Jackson for like slaughtering a group of people in Yemen, I believe. And it is the most Islamophobic movie I've ever seen. And I assumed it was like in response to September 11th, but it
before,
was like a
right?
year before September 11th. They're just like, yeah, you're going to want some justification for why.
Wow. Yeah. I thought you were talking about the David Spade show, Rules of Engagement.
No.
Yeah.
I've already seen that. Like
great show.
Times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Can't believe that show was on for 6 years.
So producer Anna Hosnier watched a ton of movies, like an impressive number of movies, and she said The Crimes of Grindelwald.
Oh,
Grindelwald!
I think I nailed that.
Gryffindor.
Yeah, of Candlewood. Sweet.
Candlewood was hard to follow on edibles. Was the her most cogent critique of the movies she watched over the weekend.
Yeah, I heard that not many people were feeling that one.
Yeah.
Or the Robin Hood one. I think I'm going to go see the Robin Hood one.
Nah.
I'm a little curious.
I think I need
it.
To see it. I think I need to go. And I like to be in a movie and get so angry at the movies. It's a good feeling. I don't know. It's a chase, I feel.
I think it's better to go
14%
into...
on Rotten Tomatoes?
Oh,
okay. Anna just pointed to me. 14% on Rotten Tomatoes.
For the
what
crimes
is it on
or
Metacritic?
Robin Hood?
For Robin Hood.
Mm.
Well, yeah, what is on Metacritic? It's like 3.
I don't know. It's hard for me to hate a movie. Like, really? I feel like a movie has to do a lot for me to, like, hate it.
Or don't you ever watch a terrible movie and just turn it off? You're like, yeah. Okay, nah, you are, nah, you're pushing me too far. I can't believe any of this.
Yeah, like, if I'm bored, I'll, okay. like, you know, be like, they tried. I don't know. It's hard for me to be like, decide to walk. I've never really walked out. I think I've only walked out of 2 movies my whole life.
Oh, wow. But
even if it's bad, I'm like, I'll just watch
well,
it.
Well, a movie I pay for, I'm not going to walk out of.
Yeah.
What'd you walk out of?
Safe Haven. I actually wrote about walking out of that one.
Which one's okay. Safe
it's
Haven?
It's like a Nicholas Sparks joint. You know, it's like...
One of them.
It's so bad. It
sounds like it wasn't a safe
wait,
haven
wait, so how did
you...
What took you to the point where you go, I cannot physically be in the same space as this film right now?
I think it was my state of mind. I was really hungover and like... I was just meant... Like I wanted to go into like a cheesy rom-com sort of romantic movie
right.
kind of being like... I just need this right now because, like, everything sucks. And then it just made everything worse instead of being, like, the sort of heart fluttery, like oh, causing... maybe love is out there or whatever. It was just like, fuck this. And I just had to walk out. It was so bad. It was like, there's a, you know, I don't want to give too much away.
I think,
people
fuck
who,
it.
Can
no.
I give?
Just do it.
It starts off kind of almost feeling like it's like a... Like a crime thriller where this woman
spoiler.
Escapes town.
No, okay.
It starts
oh, I'm gonna
off.
Spoil.
Holy shit!
Spoiler alert: there are opening credits. Uh-huh. But it's like you feel like it's like a crime thriller, and this like woman is escaping town, and you're like, why is she da da da? And then she ends up in this little town and meets this guy, and they fall in love, and then you finally find out why she was escaping, and like she's supposedly wanted for murder, but it's just her crazy alcoholic ex-husband who's trying to find her, and he works for the cops, and he's like framing her for murder so he like can get her back home. And then this whole time she has like a friend who she meets in this town, and you find out at the end that this friend is the ghost of her new boyfriend's ex-dead wife.
What?
Damn.
I just walked out. Fuck that.
Miles just walked out of on that sorry, on that
man.
Summary.
Yeah, I can't, that's too much.
They just like packed every like plot twist into that movie. It was like
it was very Shyamalan-esque.
Yeah. And then it turned out she was also dead. okay.
And turns out I was dead too.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
The on the inside.
Time. Yeah.
Godzilla 1998, the only movie I've ever walked out. And I was
with Jean Reno and Matthew Broderick?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
That shit was
come on, Jack.
Garbage. I don't know what the fuck I was expecting. I think it's because it's in the same genre as my favorite movie, Jaws, and so I go in with higher expectations than
Godzilla
I should.
Godzilla has like Jaws?
It's
a like monster a monster movie.
Movie.
Yeah. I guess my perception is so like based in Japanese culture, I'm like, oh, it's just a guy. Like, I'll just habitually see every Godzilla movie.
Yeah, no, Japan ripped off Jaws.
Oh, for
I've
sure.
I've always said that.
I know. Yeah. And I apologize to you every day for that.
Yes.
But the thing that really got me is because of the Taco Bell promotion with chalupas. You had to get the Z to win $1 million to spell out Godzilla with every chalupa you bought.
Right.
You never get the fuck. I had Godzilla. And fucking could never.
They didn't say, that's good enough.
No.
That's good enough, man. You win.
Yeah, it's because it's the, what is it, boardwalk, basically, of like
right.
game pieces
right.
where like
yeah.
that's the one for McDonald's. If you ever wanted to get the full like board, you would never get boardwalk.
God, that story
they don't do
was
those
amazing.
Anymore, huh?
Yeah, did you know the story behind that?
No.
The dude who was like in charge of security for that was scamming the whole thing.
What?
And like
yeah.
he basically was giving out the winning pieces to his friends and family.
And they were cutting him in.
And they were cutting him in.
What?
It's an amazing story that they're going to make a movie about. Fairly soon, and I'm gonna walk out on that fucking movie because
it should have been me.
Yes. Well, guys, this has been a blast.
Wow, it really
wow.
It truly has.
Allison, where can people find you, follow you?
Oh, I'm on Twitter and on Instagram at justaboutglad. That's where you can find me.
All right. Yeah. And is there a tweet that you've been enjoying?
Oh, yeah. Also, I'm organizing a strip show.
What?
A body positive strip show that I want people to come to if you live in LA.
Oh, where is it at?
It's at DAF Creative Studios in Echo Park-ish, mm-hmm. Echo Park, Filipino town. And yeah, it's just going to be like this huge, like we're going to have a bunch of body positive plus size girls stripping and it's going to be a fun time. There's vendors, music. It's going to be a big
Do you need like a permit for that? Oh, my bad. I don't mean to make it hot.
Yeah, maybe let's not ask that.
All right, never mind.
This is the thing Miles does in all the time in L.A. is we'll be walking around. There will be like a student film being shot on the street.
Yep.
And I'll walk up and be like, hey, let me see those permits.
Hey, who's the producer here?
Just scare the shit out of people.
Y'all got a permit? Yeah. Oh, you don't? Okay. Should I call Film L.A. right now? No? All right.
Cool. It's a cool move.
Wait, what's the show called?
It's called Thick Strip.
There you go.
Thick with two C's.
And when's it at?
Yeah, it is.
December 14th, 8 p.m., $15.
That's a Friday.
It's a Friday.
No excuses.
Yeah, you don't got anything to do the next day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can come, get drunk, spend a lot of money before Christmas, you know? Just
yeah, yeah. 100%.
Really. Yeah. It'll be good. It'll be fun. I want people to come.
I mean, with all these deals people are getting on Cyber Monday, you'll have money left over.
Exactly. Any extra singles?
This episode is sponsored by Cyber Monday, just the day in general. Allison, is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Yeah, you know, there is this tweet that I liked.
Cool.
It's kind of
Miles.
A...
No, sorry.
It's from @Rachel. And it's...
Rachel.
Ladies, if he never texts you back, always interjects with unsolicited advice, reads your personal documents, constantly tries to help you format paragraphs, is a sentient paperclip, he's not your man. He's Clippy, the Microsoft Word assistant.
Clippy. Awesome.
Miles.
Yeah. Me?
Where can people find you?
Oh, wow. I want to tell you guys. I can be found on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. You can also find us doing a live show at UCB Sunset
this Thursday. Man.
Well, hey, there's still a wait list. You can still get on the wait list because people flake, you know? So I'm not going to discourage people.
Okay.
I want to jam this thing out the back doors.
I know. I just wanted to mention that it was sold out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We'll do you know, weird flex, like but okay. Yeah. You know, I want the fire marshal to come through.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you guys get a permit for that show? Or?
Hey, whoa. What are you making
an Allison.
Shh. There will be some stripping also. And also, if you are in Chicago on Saturday, December 1st, we will be in Chicago at Chicago Theater Works for our live show. And it'll be, you know, it'll be a fun time. We'll have one of y'all up, maybe be the third chair. No, I keep saying maybe. You will be. We will have somebody come.
We will have one person.
I guess technically the fourth chair because we will have an official third person. But you will give us an over under a myth. And if it's garbage, prepare to be eviscerated by the panel of three.
Also, they're both our live shows. You said also on Saturday, our live show. Like, you put emphasis on a weird way that made it sound like the first one was not our live show.
See,
I just want to make sure people
this is why
are aware.
We have to go on Judge Jerry.
I just want people to know we sold out the Thursday show, so no big deal. What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, a tweet I like always comes from Reductress, and there are two of them. One is it's a woman holding her cell phone. It says, woman thinking of what to say after starting Insta story? What the fuck are you gonna do? And another one for all you lazy ass boyfriends out there. It says, how to be impressed by the little things he does because he definitely won't do big things.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. A tweet I've been enjoying is from the very funny comedian Mark Little on Twitter. He tweeted, as a child, I was intrigued by Rudolph, the overlooked reindeer, underdog turned champion of the skies. As an adult, I have put aside such childish interests and turned my attention to Vixen. Why did you name that one reindeer Vixen, Santa? What the hell is going on, man? You good? And then he has Santa naming reindeer, Dasher, Fast, Dancer, Nimble, Prancer, a bit much, Vixen, I want to fuck this reindeer, Comet, Fast, Cupid, this reindeer will help get Vixen to fuck me, Donner, who cares, Blitzen, who cares, Rudolph shit. Anyways, Mark Little's a very funny dude, I like that observation, why did he call one of the reindeers Vixen? You can follow us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. You can also find that information in the show notes. Miles, what song are we going to ride out on?
We are going to ride out on a track by Leatherette, a little sample-based music here. A song is called Lang Said, and I like it because it has that Bobby Caldwell sample from Sky is the Limit and You Know That You Keep On, that Notorious B.I.G. featuring 112 song. But it's just a little rework of that, and just a little nice, easy beat to, you know, get the week rolling. Mm. Got a lot of work to do.
Oof, do we ever. All right. We're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we'll talk to you then. Bye.
Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.